This is Passing Judgment, a podcast about the law and how it affects you. I'm your host, Loyola Law School professor Jessica Levinson. Think of me as your personal law professor as we navigate the big legal questions of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers. Hey, everybody, it's Jessica, and today I want to bring you a micro episode about two big legal issues that are happening this week. Now, I know a lot of you are focused, very understandably, on the 2024 election, and next week we're going to bring you a conversation with a White House reporter, and we're going to turn a little bit more to politics. But for this week, I do want to cover these two legal stories, in part because they're just so entertaining, and they're both a little bit nutty. And there's one thing that they both have in common, and that is aggravated identity theft. So first, we're going to talk about George Santos, the disgraced former member of Congress. And then we're going to talk about Graceland, Elvis Presley's former home and now a popular tourist attraction. So let's begin with George Santos. As we know, the former Republican Congress member from New York, and the news is that he has pled guilty and therefore avoided a federal trial that was expected to begin on September 9th. This will spare Santos from a public trial that almost certainly would have become some type of circus. And he pled guilty to two of the 23 counts pending against him. Those two counts were wire fraud and, as I mentioned a moment ago, aggravated identity theft, which carries with it a mandatory minimum of 2 years in prison. So that's the least amount of prison time that he's looking at. Sentencing is scheduled for in a few months. Now, let's talk for a moment about the other charges that George Santos was facing. He was facing, as I mentioned, 23 felony charges. These included wire fraud, money laundering, stealing public funds, lying on federal disclosure forms, aggravated identity theft, which we've mentioned a few times, and conspiracy. Now, most of these charges involve alleged lies that he made as part of his successful 2022 campaign for Congress. And essentially, the federal government had argued that Santos engaged in about half a dozen criminal schemes. And these involved things like lying to campaign donors, taking their money not for campaign purposes, like charging campaign donors credit cards, even though he wasn't authorized to do that. For instance, maybe people agreed to give one donation, but not to give recurring donations. What else? Falsely inflating campaign finance reports, essentially trying to make it look like he was raising more money than he actually did. Receiving unemployment benefits when he actually wasn't entitled to do so because he was employed. And as I mentioned, lying on his house disclosure reports. Those are federal forms. Now, some of you may know that there were also other lies that George Santos was apparently caught in involving aspects of his biography, like where he went to school. He said he graduated from NYU. There's apparently no evidence of that, or that his grandparents survived the Holocaust. Again, no evidence of that, that he worked at Citigroup and Goldman Sachs. There were a lot of other lies that were somewhat tangentially related to the criminal complaint pending against him. And the federal prosecutors had actually asked that all of those lies about his biography come in, saying that they were part of the criminal scheme. And I think that's just another reason why he did decide to plead guilty. He did decide to avoid a public airing or re-airing of all of these allegations. Let's, of course, also remember that most cases do end in plea agreements, and it provides certainty for both sides. So George Santos knows exactly what's going to happen in the sense that he pled guilty to two of the 23 charges, and he will face less jail time than if he went to trial. For the federal prosecutors, they get the certainty of not having to go to trial. There's always some risk involved in going to trial. They know that they are going to get convictions on two of the 23 counts, and they're assured of some prison time here. Now, what else are we avoiding by avoiding this trial? Well, we're avoiding some testimony by, let's remember, two of Santos's campaign staffers had actually pleaded guilty for misconduct related to his campaign. There was his former campaign treasurer who pleaded guilty to falsifying the campaign finance records in coordination with Santos. She certainly would have testified. There were allegations involving an alleged fraudulent $500,000 loan that Santos had said that he made to his campaign, whereas I think there was no evidence of that. In addition, Santos's former fundraiser had also admitted that he engaged in wrongdoing. He admitted to impersonating a House leadership aide. He admitted to charging campaign donors' credit cards, again, without authorization. And let's, of course, remember that in addition to the legal issues here, two-thirds of Santos's colleagues in the House of Representatives voted to expel him in last December, in part based on all of these allegations. In this way, Santos made history. He is only the sixth member of the House of Representatives to be expelled. So that concludes our tour of the Santos case. There was a lot of reporting on that. I kind of wanted to wrap up what happened in that case. Why aren't we going to see a trial? And stroll down memory lane for a moment and remember the allegations that were pending against him. Now, as I said, I also want to talk about this case involving Graceland. And the connection here is really just that there are also allegations of aggravated identity theft. Now, late last week, federal authorities arrested a Missouri woman, Lisa Finley, on charges of aggravated identity theft and mail fraud. And federal authorities have accused Finley of threatening to foreclose on Graceland, again, Elvis Presley's Memphis home, and now a really big tourist attraction. The problem, apparently, for Finley is that she had absolutely no legal right to foreclose on Graceland. And authorities have said that she falsely claimed that Elvis Presley's late daughter, Lisa Marie Presley, had put up Graceland as collateral on a $3.8 million loan that she allegedly had failed to repay before she died in 2023. Now, Finley had allegedly created a fictitious entity to help with this, frankly, quite brazen scheme. And the company had actually tried to schedule a sale of Graceland. It was about to take place before a judge said, no, stop, something is strange here. And really, on the eve of the foreclosure sale, things halted. And then I think the investigation into Finley really ramped up. So Finley faces a mandatory minimum of 2 years in prison, again, for that charge of aggravated identity theft. But she also faces a minimum penalty if she's convicted of mail fraud of 20 years in prison. So we're looking at very serious allegations here. Now, the FBI said publicly, quote, using a series of aliases, email addresses, and fake documents, Finley engaged in a scheme to defraud Elvis Presley's family for millions of dollars by threatening to foreclose on the Graceland estate owned by Mr. Presley's family and auction Graceland to the highest bidder. This scheme allegedly began in July 2023, which was about half a year after Lisa Marie Presley passed away. Now, part of what federal authorities said here is that Lisa Marie's signature on purported loan documents and a deed of trust were total forgeries, and that bank records provided as part of the creditor's quote-unquote claim here were also completely fraudulent. And here's the kicker. After this alleged scheme gained nationwide attention, Finley allegedly tried to claim that she was the victim of an identity thief in Nigeria. So more to come on that case. A quick update on two legal stories for you for this week. Next week will be all politics all the time. Wishing everybody a great week. As always, rate, review, and subscribe.